Hey, it's George, it's John, it's Gabe.
We're here. We're
my
back.
Thai happy hour. We are back after a week-long sabbatical, and I have so much to talk about. There's just so much. We're probably not even going to review everything. It's going to be one of those episodes. Like last week where we ended up talking about Vince Neil and Sebastian Bach for half an hour.
I feel like our listeners probably enjoyed that conversation a lot more than whatever we were going to interview.
Review, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, you know, I heard it both ways.
Yeah, I guess. What are we going to talk about this week?
So we're going to talk about you.
What are we going to try to talk about this week?
Well, we are going to give it the old college dropout try to talk about you going to California. Dexter is back with the season 9.
New blood.
We're going to talk about Nirvana, 30th anniversary of Nevermind. Holy crap, it makes me feel old. And finally, Shang-Chi just hit Disney Plus on Disney Plus Day, so we've got some thoughts on that.
Plus, well, I guess all the other stuff from Disney Plus Day, too, which I completely forgot
about
as well.
There was so much stuff going on. Before we get to that, let me give you a little cocktail action here. So one of the things we're going to do a little sidebar on in just a minute, we're going to talk about the new Spider-Man trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So in honor of that, because I knew that was what was going to be on the menu tonight, I figured out there has to be a Spider-Man cocktail, and lo and behold, there is. So this is one of those things that you're going to kind of layer a little bit. You're gonna layer it a little bit because part
not
of it
is, layered.
No, not layered.
Yeah, our buddy.
Yeah. Well, I'll get to that because you're gonna use layered vodka for
recipe. We're gonna layered.
So this is a big punch you're gonna make. You're gonna make a large batch, you're gonna split it up. It's gonna be 6 cups of Berry Blue Typhoon Punch, the Hawaiian punch flavor, 1 cup of Country Time lemonade, 2 cups of Sprite, 1 cup of coconut water. Grenadine to make it red, obviously. Ice simple syrup. You're going to use white sanding sugar to rim the glass with. And for every cup of something that you put in there, add a shot of layered vodka. So it's pretty easy to make. You're going to put the grenadine into the glass first, just on the bottom. So you have like a little layer that's red. You're going to put all the other ingredients into a pitcher. You're going to shake it up nice. Drop some ice in there. You're going to pour it over the ice and then make sure the glass is already rimmed with the white salt. So you're going to have a nice red, white, and blue. It's also like a 4th of July looking cocktail as well. But the Spider-Man with extra vodka.
So Spider-Man just dropped literally seconds ago.
We literally watched it on your couch before you hit record.
I couldn't even like put it on YouTube because it's not on YouTube yet. So I had to do like one of those like screen sharing on Twitter to the big screen. I'm excited. Look, they didn't reveal what everybody wanted to see with the multiple possible Spider-Mans, the Daredevils. But we got a little more of the Doctor Strange storyline. They've made it clear that the space-time continuum has been ripped open and things are coming through. A lot more villains.
Oh my God, so many villains.
Jamie Foxx, clearly visible.
In such a better costume as Electro. Like, they got it right.
Yeah.
As good as you can.
I'm excited for this. My only concern, and I think everybody will agree with me, is every time they've done a Spider-Man movie with multiple villains, where they've done more than like the usual, like Spider-Man 3, like some of the other ones, it's been a clusterfuck. I'm hoping Marvel reigns the cluster in.
I think they can do it, man. I mean, they've shown that they can do it through, 23 movies at this point? You know, you had a giant 2-movie full Avenger roster versus Thanos and all his minions and, like, other villains. I'm confident that they can pull this off, they can pull this together, and really give a satisfying ending to Tom Holland's time as Spider-Man. Because that's what they're saying. They're saying he's done after this.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy that at all.
I think it's contracts up. It doesn't mean he's not going to get a new contract. The guy loves Spider-Man. He forced the hand of Sony to get this Spider-Man made.
I mean, how are you going to tell crying Tom Holland you're not going to make another Spider-Man movie?
No, and you got to stop. Everybody out there, stop. There is so many. I've realized that, like, the comic book geek blogs have gotten as bad as the horror and, like, the tech. But, like, the level of bullshit. And the worst part, some of our friends share it, too. It's like, there's so much bad, bad information out there that I think it's worse than the wrestling dirt sheets of old.
It's so funny because it hit a point in one of our group chats where we had to rein it in.
Yeah, I was like, nothing from Bloody Cool, Bleeding Cool, nothing from like even comic book resources bad now.
Yeah, like, they're Forbes, not from Forbes. Like, there are like several outlets that we do not allow in the group chat because we want to keep it real. We want to keep it interesting.
If it's on Variety or Hollywood Reporter, it's pretty much not real anymore. Sorry, Gabe's in the room playing with our
Variety.
Star Wars.
Hollywood Reporter, I'll give you. Variety is still very...
No, I said Variety and Hollywood Reporter. Yep. If they're on there, we even use the Hollywood Reporter for Verizon stuff.
Deadline, I'm good with Deadline. Yes. Yeah.
But just the blogs are just gotten so bad. What's up, Gabe? You broke a head? I think we should be a little more careful, okay, buddy? Just let me know where it goes and I'll fix it later. So I started collecting Star Wars recently, and I started with the Mos Eisley canteen. I've never done a big Lego set before. This had 21 minifigures. I've been working on it for 3 weeks. Like, it's
this is not something you build on a
No,
day.
And they just announced the AT-AT. Did you see it?
I saw it.
It's coming. It's going to happen. Like, I don't care what it costs. Like,
I mean, you're on next on deck for you is a Home Alone house, right?
Next on deck is yes, absolutely, the Home Alone house. But of course, the price of the Home Alone house, because there is no Star Wars tax, is significantly cheaper than all this stuff.
Same thing with Harry Potter.
It's so sad, like the amount, the premium you pay just for the name. But that AT-AT is over 2 feet tall, and it's like the legs to get them to move right. You need like a screwdriver. It's like a technique set. But he's been loving it. He's been doing the Mario stuff. I just came back from California.
Yeah. A much-needed, a much-deserved vacation.
I'm going to try to go abridged because most of you don't care about my, like, oh, this is George's family vacation. No, I got review of stuff. First, let's start off in
Sandy. Stuff that we didn't think we were going to see for a while.
First of all, start off, I chose to go to California because I just don't give a F about Florida anymore. Like, I'm over Florida. Everything I heard coming out of California was safe and happy. Everything I was hearing coming out of Florida was like, it's fine if you don't mind the people making fun of you for wearing a mask or like, you know, the weird shaming here and there, just feeling uncomfortable. California had heard completely different things and all their numbers were great. So we switched to California and I get to San Diego. I got to see my friend Sue, whose husband works at Rivian. I got to sit in a Rivian. But more importantly, we got to go to the Grass Skirt. So I'm going to do a blog post. Like, I do a blog post on my site of where you can take a child to do tiki, because tiki's tough when you have a kid. Like, you don't want to go to a bar that's just drinks. But I have found that, like, there's secret places that have food menus. If you have a food menu, you're open for a child.
Yeah.
Full on. And the Grass Skirt, which is a amazing tiki bar, you may have seen my videos on my Instagram, but you go into a, like, poke bowl sushi joint.
Right.
You tell them you're here for the tiki bar. They put you through a freezer. Go through the freezer door, down the hallway, and you're in the grass skirt.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great experience. Just right there alone, like the real, like, nice flair of that is something you don't really get a lot of places anymore.
They great drinks, great food, the ambiance, everything. The tiki was next level. Again, we usually go to Bali High in San Diego. We've also been to False Idol. False Idol, definitely not for kids. Bali High, definitely for kids. It's not for kids. I'm sorry, buddy. You know, some places you can't go yet. You don't drink the adult drinks. What do you call them? The unhealthy drinks?
Where's the lie?
Grass Skirt was awesome. I highly recommend it. They have a gold pineapple skull mug that I have upstairs.
That's amazing.
It's awesome. But what you guys really want to know, we went to Disneyland and we went to California Adventure.
Yeah,
we have been talking for years since they showed the original art for it of the new Star Wars land.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, buddy, I want to be there when you see it. So I'll cry.
I'll be so happy.
It is
just tears of pure joy.
You know, Disneyland, very safe. We went during the week. It was pretty. Longest line was 30 minutes. Most didn't have lines at all. Got into the Haunted Mansion instantly for the Nightmare Before Christmas. They skin it for Halloween, and he loved it. He went on that twice. And we so you're like, hold on 1 second, buddy. We're gonna talk about Nightmare Before Christmas, but when you leave, like, it's up to the higher end. You basically go through, like, the Tiki Land and the Forest Land, the Wilderness Land, and you make your way up to Star Wars Land, whatever it's called, Smuggler's Co. I forgot what the name of it is.
Yeah.
But you go, and you enter, and you're like, oh, this is it. It's the line for the Rise of the Resistance, which I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning to get the tickets for.
Yeah, of course.
And I got it. And we just did that immediately. And the ride is everything you've seen on YouTube and more, and it is incredible. And it's like a 15-minute ride, and there's a ride to get to the ride to get to the ride. It is awesome.
Oh, I heard it's like a 3-stage ride.
It's insane. Like, the queue is a ride. So, Gabe, can you be a little bit quiet? Because we are doing a show. You can keep playing. And if you want to talk on the air, you can. But it's hard for me to fight with you on this, because I know you love Star Wars. Anyway, we get done with the ride. And I'm like, well, this is it. There's a bottleneck of people. I'm like, what else? We walk around the corner and it opens up. And the first thing you see is this market, this outdoor market in that world right there, in Tatooine looking place.
That's love it.
Kind of cross between Endor and Tatooine. It's a little deserty, a little foresty, but you go through this marketplace that I believe is based off the Turkish spice market.
Yeah.
And it is just indoor, outdoor. There's just droids everywhere working, and there's stuff you can buy everywhere. Everything in the Star Wars area is specific to the Star Wars area. Everything you can buy, all the merchandise, all the food. I had a Roko Rondo meatless. They had Beyond Meat from like animals that you kill in the Star Wars land, which was basically a vegetarian gyro.
Yeah.
And then it opens up more. Then you see then you open up and you see the freaking Millennium Falcon to scale. Dad, I don't want to play any toy. What do you want to do, buddy? We are on a podcast.
Yeah, you're on
right
the air.
Now. What did you think of Disneyland? Did you like it? Oh, you're like, I can't hear anything, so I'm not going to do anything. So, Millennium Falcon, wait in line for 45 minutes, get through the building, get through the queue, through the queue, through the queue. Right, they give us a sign, us our doorway to go in. I see a guy on a phone that's a real phone, and he looks like he's shitting his pants. I go, Allison, something's wrong. And then I hear like, emergency evacuation. And it's real. And what? Something's on fire. And they evacuate. They thousands of people are pouring out of this queue. I could not believe how many people were actually in this thing. And we get outside and the legit Disney police are there. Like the white shirts, like those dudes are there.
Yeah.
And all the cast members, whatever they call them, that were inside are also outside, and it smells like smoke. The Millennium Falcon's on fire.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and we couldn't do it, so we didn't do that. But that's not the ride that everybody...
Yeah, but it's photo ops.
Yeah,
like, that's
it largely is. I believe that one's more of a visual ride, but the Rise of the Resistance was what it was all for. So then we went out and did more. It's just, you could spend hours. We might have spent 4 hours just in the Star Wars portion of the park. We ended up going out more. Gabe wanted to see Mickey Mouse Toontown. He wanted to do the Tiki Room. Splash Mountain is still racist for a little longer, so we wanted to see it one last time while it's still racist.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't updated that yet.
They are.
They're like really fast about that stuff.
They got to redo the whole thing. And to be fair, it is not a racist ride. The cartoon characters in it also appeared in a racist movie.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like the Jungle Cruise where they had racist elements in the ride.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and they did a nice job revamping that. And Trader Sam's now at the pavilion, the Tiki Pavilion, whatever. It that's fine. But Splash Mountain, it's just they took the characters who were in a racist movie and just made a new story for them in Splash Mountain. And it's like, why did you use them? Like, but again,
listen, Song of the South is buried so far in the Disney vault, and we are the last generation that will ever remember it even existing.
I don't even remember it existing. I don't remember seeing it ever as a child. But again, the Splash Mountain's not the Song of the South, the story. It's not a ride for it.
It just has those animals. Yeah.
And it's really creepy. It's going through the pits of hell, the layers of hell,
and
descending into death. It's a horror. It's my favorite ride ever, but it's also just insane that it exists.
When you break it down, like you're not really thinking about it because you're getting wet, and like things are happening. But yeah, it's a pretty like horrific ride when you really pull the layers back.
So at night, I booked. I used a thing called Mouse Watch, which is you pay $5. So you need to book your restaurants 2 months, 3 months in advance.
That's what I've heard.
And it's harder and harder. Now, I didn't realize that includes now all restaurants, including Ogo's Cantina and Trader Sam's.
Really?
So I was shit out of luck for Ogo's Cantina until the day before where I finally got Mouse Watch. Mouse Watch basically has bots looking to see when people cancel their reservations and then book them for you. So I got booked in Ogo's the day before. We went to the cantina at night. We had to be on the secret guest list to go through the side door. And you're inside, I'm sure. Like, it is just amazing. And it is just, like, private seating areas. And there is droids DJing. And they all have different type of beats. The bar is, like, the next. Like, it's just, what's amazing about this place is everywhere you look, behind everything you look, everything you see, the patina is amazing. Like, the rust, dirt, grime. You'll just look around the corner. There'll be a bridge. And you look under the bridge. And there's, like, clearly a giant claw with blood streaming down it. Like, it's just, the level of detail is unfucking believable. So then we also came back at night. We did the droid experience, Got a black and orange R2-D2 coming.
It's awesome.
That was fun, but the lightsaber one, you will be bawling because it is the best $200 I ever spent. You sit there, you make it. I can't wait to show it to you. It weighs a lot. It's hefty.
I love that you have it shipped. That's what Allison said. You guys are having it shipped.
I had to because I know how to bring it. It's a real lights. It's a full size. Yeah. It weighs like 10, 15 pounds. So I got that, but at the end, it's like Yoda comes out and talks to you about the importance of this. And like I was just, the tears were like coming down, and then like your lightsaber lights up and like fucking A, and everything is like back alleys. It's just, I can't say enough. Now I gotta give a couple minutes to the polar opposite of Star Wars Land.
What's that?
Avengers Campus.
Yeah,
they screwed the pooch on that one. It's in California Adventures. I was so excited for it. Web Slingers the Ride is a very cool, it's new technology. They're using HUD technology, like I have in my old car, where basically you wear glasses, but the glasses are powered, and you basically see your web shooting out of your hands.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's a giant video game, very much like the Toy Story one, where you're shooting the main, like shooting gun, like the guns. That's a 3D one. This one is HUD, where you have 3D imagery, you're in a car, and you're shooting your webs at these spider bots that Peter Parker created, and then they went crazy, and you have to save the world. And it's basically a giant video game. At the very end, you get dropped off in a gift shop, so you can spend $80 on a spider bot.
Exit through the gift shop, baby.
it was the longest wait we had. It was the hottest day, and that was like an hour of waiting, and I just was a little bummed down. And then the other ride is Guardians of the Galaxy, which is just Twilight Zone reskin.
It's Tower of Terror.
And everything, there's these big buildings and you can't go in them, and the merch isn't very good, whereas on the other side, Star Wars merch is like next level merch. And I was just kind of bummed out of how, and I'm hoping maybe it's COVID. I remember back in the day, I think we've talked about in the show, where I would go in the World of Tomorrow, they had a whole exhibit just of all the Iron Man costumes, all the Marvel stuff. And then one day it disappeared, and they sent it to Shanghai, but it'll be back for Avengers HQ, and it never came back.
Yeah.
And so I was bummed out. We went to Cars Land. That was lovely. Radiator Springs, I think that's what it's called. The Cars ride that starts off as like a moving visual ride and then turns into a roller coaster. It's fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
And he got to, but for me, it was honestly, I got to be honest. Like what it was seeing my son finally older. But I'm actually glad we didn't go a year and a half ago before COVID started, because at three, where he could barely speak.
Yeah.
Completely different than now at four and a half, where he is so aware and so happy
and a fucking champ about rides.
But I gotta tell everybody, the night and day difference between Disneyland and Disney World. Every time there was one point where Gabe got loose, I had to go get him in a gift shop, and I ran in and didn't put my mask on. I just was trying to get my kid, and stormtroopers stopped me and they're like, please put your mask on, sir. And that's how it is every store. You get front door, put your mask on. You can't walk into a store or restaurant without your mask on. There was no 6 feet. You really can't do that with the rides the way they're set up.
Yeah.
But everyone was just proactively putting on their masks. The moment you got any of the queues that went inside, masks were put on. Like, it felt good. We went our last day in California. We stayed an extra day just to relax a little more. And Designer Con was happening, which is like basically a convention for people who collect really rare vinyl toys, like some of the stuff we have, the Kid Robot stuff. That. And it was there, and we had time to kill. So I'm like, let me take Gabe. It's like $20. And while we were there, they COVID tested us. They made us wait in line.
Yeah.
Gave us a badge to tell us we're approved.
Love it.
Like, that's California. I can't say enough good stuff about, like, look, I know there's parts of California probably suck, but like, for the most part, Southern California was a lot safer than I thought it would be. And not once did I hear anyone like even grumble.
That's awesome.
Like, no one was even bitching. But like, you know, I just heard people going to Florida, and just a lot of stuff I heard coming out of there was just like, it was, you know, it was a stigma.
Yeah.
And I felt, I at no point felt like I was unsafe. I didn't feel like, you know, at risk. Gabe, obviously, we were boosted, but Gabe's not. Gabe is not going to get vaccinated until next June. So, you know, I wanted him to be safe, and I just didn't fucking trust Florida, is what it came down to.
But sidebar, how cool is that? That you know there is a definitive date when your son's going to get vaccinated now.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's got to be fucking
and
cool.
I'll give you, you know what helps me breathe a little more? Not that there's any reason to fear it, but knowing how bad my side effects were with the second shot, I now have 6-7 months to see how people react to.
Yeah.
So not like I would doubt it, but I want to see how what types of side effects do kids have for
yeah, of course.
Like stuff. And so it gives me a little bit of a sigh of relief so I can see, you know, how are kids being affected by it? How, like, will he need to take a day of school off to recover from something?
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate that too. But California, highly recommend it. I can't say enough for Star Wars Land at Disney. Again, this was in Disneyland, so it was in the Magic Kingdom in Florida. It's in Hollywood Studios. I hear they're pretty much exactly the same. But the ride, I cannot. Rise of the Resistance was insane. And there's nothing I can really even explain it. Like, you start off in a carrier. I sent you as many videos as I could.
Oh, I love
like, you
it.
Start off with these crazy, like, thing. And that gets you to, like, it opens up and there's, like, 10,000 stormtroopers just waiting there. And, like, that takes you to a ride. Like, it's crazy. And I the level of detail, I just wish they had put some of that into the Avengers universe, the Marvel universe. And, you know, I think the same reason why I'm collecting the Star Wars Legos is I guess Star Wars are just cooler universe building than Marvel. Marvel, it's about the heroes and the villains. The universe is New York.
Yeah, essentially.
So I think that's where it gets a little bit tricky to what do you do? I don't know. We also went to Legoland.
Mm.
We went to the Legoland out there, and that was more kids-centric, but there is at the end of it, there is an entire, like, Vegas and New York and everything to scale of Lego. It's
that's
amazing.
Awesome.
Anyway, my vacation. That was fantastic. Dexter is Dexter. I got thoughts. I got lots of thoughts because I just finished the second episode before you came. And
second episode's out already?
Yeah, it dropped on Sunday.
Oh, watch that later.
It dropped, like, as I was telling you to watch it. But Dexter's on Showtime. Dexter is the worst finale I've ever seen in television in my life.
Yeah, and there's definitely, like, several finales that get, like, factored in there that it's not even a foot race.
No,
like, it's worse than Lost.
It's way worse than Lost. Lost, I don't even think it was that bad compared to this. It's worse
terrible.
Than Sopranos. It's worse than everything. Dexter was the worst drop of the, and it's not even just that, the last three seasons. Everything after season four. Well, in this case, the original showrunners who did the first four seasons are back, giving it another limited series. The initial reviews were pretty bad. It dropped while I was on vacation, but I had to watch. Like, I had to see the train wreck. I wanted to see the train wreck. And also, I love the fact that the initial creators decided that rather than, like, retcon the ending, they were going to go double down on it, and they were going to write out Dexter in lumberjack mode. And I just thought this was all a horrible idea. And then
yeah.
I watched the first episode. I'm like, this is pretty good. I'm entertained.
I honestly wasn't sure what to think because I really enjoyed Dexter up until, you know, once it got to season five. And look, you know, how do you recover from everything that happened at the end of season four? You know, but you're optimistic when you go into a new season like that because you know it's going to be something different. But it just kept getting progressively worse. And then, you know, I tuned in at the very end because I was like, I feel like I paid to see it. Like, if you watch four seasons.
I hate watched Dexter all the way to the end.
See, I couldn't do it. But I feel like if you've watched four or five seasons of a show, no matter how many seasons it goes, you've paid to see it and you got to see how it ends, right? So I did that with Dexter and I was like, this is it? He's a fucking lumberjack now?
It's so bad. Everybody else died. He didn't.
Yeah. Like, terribly. Everyone died terribly and... You know, I'd put it out of my head. That's why when certain characters pop up in this one, I was like texting. I was like, is this person dead? Or did he kill them? Or did they die some other way? Because
who was Hannah? Which one was Hannah?
Yeah, I checked out. You know, it was decent. It wasn't great. I think it was definitely kind of a hard settle in because they really did double down and dig their heels in on he is living in a northern town now. Where it's a small,
I thought he was in Alaska.
Idyllic town. I don't know if it's Alaska. I'm not sure. But I mean, it's been 10 years.
It's an American city. Everyone's got an American accent. Exactly. He is now he sells guns.
He works at a fish and bait shop.
An ammo shop. And, you know, it's for the past 10 years, he's avoided killing. He's literally changed his life. He's been living under a pseudonym. He gave up his child at some point. I missed that in the original series, but I'm not going to spoil anything. However, Things happen that force him to revisit his dark passenger. And I found the first episode, it had to do a lot of like solving. It had to do a lot of weaving. There's no way around it. And they kind of have to. I recommend you watch the second episode, John.
No, I'm going to.
It actually, so the second episode leads right after what happens in the first episode, and you learn a lot more about it, but it doesn't get dumb. Like, things I thought would get dumb don't get dumb, and now I'm wondering if they're actually going to pull off the craziest move ever, which is make a good Dexter after killing, you know, turning into the worst show ever made.
I mean, it's only 10 episodes. So, 10 episodes, I'll give it at least 3 or 4, and I'll make a judgment call at that point. But, like, 10 episodes, it seems doable. And they had a lot, you're right, they had to do a lot of weaving in that first episode to get to where it is. In the end of the original series, he had found that new woman who I think was his girlfriend, but also his, like, serial killer protege.
Hannah.
And she took the kids to, I want to say, like, Argentina or something. And he was supposed to meet them there if he did like one last job. And then he's like, nah, I'm going to go become a lumberjack.
Yeah, you actually dug into that a little more, into the history. You Wikipedia'd a little more than I did last time.
Just a little bit.
But I got to tell you guys, if you have even a minor interest, if you can think back to those first four seasons, you know, especially the John Lithgow one, and you want to give it into, look, we have only watched the first and second episodes, so I can't speak to whether this is actually going to solve for the great mystery of Dexter, but I can tell you I was entertained by the first two episodes. I thought the second was a little stronger because now they had the story going, and the acting's really good.
I think he hasn't lost a step at Dexter, and I think he actually got a little better because, like, there's some parts in there where he's just, like, downright bitchy.
Yeah,
like when he's killing somebody. It's no, and no spoilers here, folks. I mean, it is. It's a show about a serial killer.
Yeah,
he's gonna kill somebody. You know, but like he was killing that guy, and like the guy said something, and he had like this really dry, witty retort that I laughed at my ass off at, and I'm like, all right, this is fun. Like it's someone kind of getting the groove back.
And the first four episodes of Dexter were also beautiful. The lighting, the cinematography, like all that left. So, and just so everybody knows, after the fourth season, the showrunner and his entire crew left to go do Nurse Jackie. That's what happened. They basically all were given Nurse Jackie. They all left, which is why the following seasons, which had different showrunners every season, literally looked completely different than old Dexter episodes, and they lost that whole beautiful lighting and all that. This comes, it brings it back. Like, this is shot very well. This looks good. It's just hard. It's hard for me to tell you guys because Dexter left such a bad taste to everybody's mouth.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for something to watch now, it's on Showtime. I think if you have any fond memories of it, just know it's Dexter in the lumber. It's still Lumberjack Dexter.
Yeah. I still stand with stuff like when it comes to stuff like this, especially trying to get back on your feet after such a tremendously terrible dismount in so many years. They should have dropped like 2-3 episodes on the first night and like gave you a little bit more of a chance to become invested in something like this, because this is not something where I think that, you know, it's a little bit harder of a sell with just having that one episode, which took a really long time to take off. You know?
So Olga's Cantina.
Right.
I failed to mention they have tiki mugs.
Do they?
I got a Porg mug.
You got a Porg mug?
I got a Porg mug. And there's another mug that's the Ewok village during the Battle of Endor.
Holy shit.
And then there's a like giant wooden, I don't know what to explain it. It's this shelf thing that's really cool, and it comes with four, I think it's like teeth that belong to like the big monster that tried to kill Luke Skywalker.
The Rancor?
Yes, they're shot glasses.
Oh my God. Yeah,
I'm going to use it as a candy dish.
I love it.
It's so nice.
I love it so much.
I'm so dorky. It was great. Gabe's favorite thing, I think, was meeting McQueen.
Lightning McQueen.
That was so. I'm just going to keep going back to Disney because this was such a good weekend. But the only thing you can't do right now in Disney is you can't meet the characters.
Really?
You can't, like, safety precautions.
Even though they're in like full costume?
Yeah. Yeah. They're actually very safe about it. Again, they have it set up where they like are on platforms and you can kind of take selfies with them. I think you may have seen me do with the Fox from Zootopia, but they're at a distance. The one you could go right up to was in Cars Land. They rolled the cars out and they had a guy.
Like, can't give a car COVID.
Like a guy, like, I think there's probably a guy driving inside of it, like, because they were ushering them in. And like the eyes move, but they're in a full car.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was fun. So the car photos that we took, those weren't like models. Like that was them talking and move, like inside the car.
Huh.
And that was it. So, but yeah, there was no princesses. There wasn't like
princesses. I could totally understand. I could totally get that. But I can't imagine like you could catch COVID in a full Donald Duck costume. Dude,
again, it was the safest experience. I was beyond me on how like I was. You know, it, again, it wasn't me. I was just more afraid of Gabe, and I was left it feeling. I at no point felt like, oh, this is a bad situation. And you know, however, oh, I did tell you I went to that convention. I lasted 1 hour.
Yeah.
Once the heat, once it just started getting hot in there and like the mask was just driving me nuts. And I was waiting in line to get a SpongeBob toy for Gabe. I was just like, I can't do a convention. I'm like, glad I didn't go to Javits. It's like, it was rough moving around a convention floor.
I think a winter convention in a mask wouldn't be bad, but like any kind of summer, fall convention, got to be tough on a mask.
It was a little bit rough, especially when the, and this was like, there were like no crowds at this either, and it was still just, yeah, that was not fun. Anyway, Nirvana, never mind. Turn 30. I listened to a lot of Nirvana the last couple weeks. For those who don't know, Nevermind has just been remastered again, and they released a version of it with like 4,000 live albums, or maybe three.
I mean, that's all they kind of have to have left.
And that's really, well, they only had one song left, right? I mean, that's like all they really had after he died. It wasn't like there was an archive of, you know, it's not like Prince, who is continuing to release music like every
week. Prince never stopped recording. There was only so much Nirvana.
Yeah, so they released, there's a Live in Del Mar concert, a Live in Amsterdam concert. There is a Live in Melbourne concert, and there is a Live in Tokyo, Japan concert on this version of Nevermind. And I got to tell you, I'm just going to put it out there in retrospect. I can't listen to Nevermind, the album, the studio album.
Really?
I found the production on there to be so polished, so overproduced for the time that I just could never really... It became an album I stopped listening to, not because of the lyrics. I love the lyrics. I love the, you know, I love the music. I just found it to be like, I didn't find it to be punk enough when I was that age.
Right.
And I found the album afterwards to be fun, probably because Steve Albini produced it, was definitely more raw, more, you know, just exciting and just fun. But this one has a lot of live concert footage of the Nevermind era album. And I feel like that is the Nirvana I want to hear.
Yeah, definitely. Like I'm looking at the set list from some of these things, and most of the stuff on here is stuff from.
Yeah, I mean
stuff from Nevermind.
It's Nevermind
and
before,
and yeah, but even there's not even a ton of songs in it. Dude, this is a lot. 75 songs, 4 hours and 31 minutes. It's crazy.
Do you remember when you bought Nevermind for the first time?
Oh, absolutely.
Where were you? Talk.
So I got it from, there was a CD store in North Arlington, and I'm blanking on the name, but it was kind of, actually, maybe it was Lyndhurst. It's that part of Ridge Road where I think there's like a Boston Market there now. It was like right next to the Boston Market, but it's that part of Ridge Road where like it's ambiguously NA or Lyndhurst, depending where you are. But I bought it there, and I remember I played it out, and like... It was one of those things where, like, you know, I'd heard all the songs on the radio. You know, I'd gotten the cassette of it. So let me clarify something. I'd gotten the cassette of it before because I was still using cassettes. But, like, the CD of it, I remember getting it specifically because I finally had, like, the CD player that I could, like, take with me and listen to it places and not just the Walkman. So I got that there. It's interesting because I remember seeing the video on a video cassette that a friend of mine had made, and it was like Headbangers Ball or something, and it was kind of like still getting played in Headbangers Ball, but it wasn't quite, it was kind of on 120 minutes at the same time, but like no one knew what to make of it at first, and it kind of took off from there. You know, I remember the video with the cheerleaders and the anarchy signs and stuff like that. And, you know, that album changed my life. Like, no shit, you know. It was definitely a thing where, like, it was immediately I'd gotten that, and then I went down to, there was a record store next to where Comic Explosion used to be across from Nutley High School in Nutley. It was actually owned by Bruce, who used to own The Loop. And that's where I got Bleach, because he had, it was like an indie record store. So, like, right after I got that cassette, I went and I got Bleach, but I didn't get the CD for Nevermind till later. And, like, you know, it was weird because it was a band that didn't really sound like they did on their first album, which really wasn't too far before. And it was, like, the first time, like, I remember, like, thinking to myself that, like, you know, a band could be a band and it doesn't always have to sound like the same band.
Well, that was the same thing for Smashing Pumpkins with Siamese Dream, and prior to that, Gish. Gish was like a dreamy shoegazer album.
Yeah.
And then Siamese Dream was like the fucking just balls to the wall distortion. Like,
they never took off for me the way Nirvana did.
No, well, a completely different style of music. So for me, I bought Nevermind when it, a little bit after it came out at The Wall. Remember The Wall?
Yeah, okay,
they give
bro.
You a little sticker.
Yeah.
Once you had the sticker, you could return it if the tape ever got eaten. I got it from The Wall, but I was definitely, you got to remember, at the same time, and I was. Keep in mind, in 91, I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
So I was old enough where, like, I could buy my own tapes from the mall. And I was so into Use Your Illusion and Metallica's Black Album that Nevermind didn't quite, like, you know, it's like it was raw and bad. And there, people are like, it changed everything. But I'm like, at the time, at that same time, you also got Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 and Metallica's Black Album. I would argue, like, quintessential rock albums of all time at that point. So I was all like, for me, an Axl Rose could whoop a Kurt Cobain's ass.
Oh yeah.
And that's why I think I was coming from that mentality, obviously being a jaded freshman in high school, you know, big Nine Inch Nails fan. Like that was what I was listening to a lot of then. But the album for me that actually made me really love the grunge stuff was Pearl Jam's 10.
Yeah.
Which was very strange in retrospect, but I just found Pearl Jam, I think it was just because the interviews I would see with Kurt Cobain, probably because he was fucked up out of his mind,
nah.
He just like came off as kind of like an idiot. And now in retrospect, I know he was playing the game, and you know, like, you know, but as a 13-year-old kid in high school, like, I just found that Eddie Vedder came off a lot much more like a hero worship type situation,
yeah,
than a Kurt Cobain.
I also like Eddie Vedder being like nicer to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, what it came down to.
You know, at the end of the day, like, you met him, like, hey, man, I really like your music. And Eddie Vedder would be like, hey, man, thanks.
Who
bro.
Would you rather meet in real life? CM Punk? Who would you rather meet in real life? CM Punk or Bryan Danielson?
Oh, I mean, I'd have fun talking to CM Punk, but Bryan Danielson would probably be a lot
no,
much nicer.
No, you would not have fun with CM Punk because he would ignore you and not yeah. want to talk to you. Like, that's the whole thing.
You feel like talking about comics or something. But I don't know, bro.
Eddie Vedder just came off so much more like, oh, I really like this guy. And so I went that route. And obviously, I liked, you know, I liked Soundgarden a little bit. I liked Alice in Chains a lot. But I the grunge era was definitely, I mean, I had Nevermind. I remember buying, why am I blanking on their second, their third big album name? What was the one after Nevermind that's not In Utero?
Incesticide?
No, not Incesticide.
Is
it In Utero?
No.
It's In Utero.
In Utero was the third album.
That's what I'm saying. The third album.
The third album, the Steve Albini one.
I was
that,
confusing it with Incesticide. I apologize.
Yeah, Incesticide is the one with like the covers on
I remember stuff. Buying that in Crazy Rhythms the day it came out.
Like, yeah.
Remember Crazy Rhythms?
Yeah.
Crazy Rhythms, cross street from it was the Blimpies at that time in Montclair, New Jersey. So when we were young, we were very lucky where I specifically lived, because I was one town over from Montclair. I was in West Orange, and I could bike ride straight shot and hit Let It Rock, Middle Earth comic books, then Rockhead / Cafe Sounds, get my industrial goth on, and buy a cheap Green Day t-shirt, and then loop back up around, hit Crazy Rhythms on the other side. You know, if you're one of my friends who are more of into the pot, you also could hit that, I forgot the name of the head shop.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Inner Eye. And then maybe even the Montclair Book Center.
It's a great place to buy your stuff.
And then I go back up and, like, get to my parents' house. You know, I always had a mountain bike because my parents lived on the side of a mountain. And, like, it was a bitch to get back, which is why I have gigantic calves.
Yeah.
It's years of climbing up a mountain on a mountain bike. But that's what I would do, that loop every week on comic book day. And I was doing that from like eighth grade.
Yeah.
And it was not the most safest thing back then.
Yeah.
Like people try to steal our bikes all the time, but I was pretty big and, but you know, we had to protect Greg Gethard, who was very small at the time. It was a time. I'm ranting.
No, I mean, it's good because you were on this side of the river. On my side of the river, the reason why I got it on cassette, because my mom was like weird about like me buying, like weird about the, weird about like anything that she thought like might be like explicit or like things that she thought would like warp my fragile little mind. So like I got Pearl Jam 10 on CD, not a problem. There's nothing off the bat that is alarming about Pearl Jam's 10. But riding my bike places, like the places that I would go, you know, I could get to like Sam Goody and Cliff, that I can get to like a couple other spots on this side of the river. Oh, they only had it on cassette. So if I was on bike, I was at the will of what they had when I got there.
I didn't get my first CD player until I turned 16.
Well, I had a CD. I did have a CD player. Like my first CD that I got was like Full Moon Fever by Tom Petty. But like, remember, my mom was like, you know, when it was them having to buy me stuff, it was always like, you know, she'd be looking at, no, you can't listen to that. You can't have that. But like me riding my bike places, you know, I was limited to what I could get. So like the Sam Goody, like, you know, the first like, the first X CD I got was like what they had, which was like Jesus, which is like the later one. But like, you know, I had to work my way backwards to get some stuff. Sometimes Bad Motorfinger, mom totally bought me Soundgarden Bad Motorfinger. Nothing crazy about that, but like, you know, the album with the kid with his dick out, you know,
well, there was she took umbrage. There was also the parental advisory sticker. Great being the son of Greek immigrants, I had no problem buying whatever I wanted, but I had to obviously get a job to afford all this. I didn't get my first CD player until I was 16, so that was probably 1993 or 4. That was when I got a Sony boombox that had a top load CD player, like the press down on the top, and it goes, it has a tape deck in the front, CD player in the front on the top, and my first CD was the single soundtrack.
Great CD.
Got the single soundtrack. I got Red Hot Chili Peppers, What Hits, The Greatest Hits.
You go either way.
And I got the Offspring's album before Smash, the
Ignition.
Ignition.
That's a good one.
And those were my first three CDs I got for my birthday. I probably would like to say that's probably 1993. That sounds right. Singles literally had just come out, so it was probably, I think that's 1993. Single soundtrack was one of the greatest soundtracks ever.
All time, hands down.
It's the best Paul Westerberg stuff, which is what I always said. I was a bigger Paul Westerberg fan than Replacements fan, because my first exposure was those two songs on the single soundtrack, which is Paul Westerberg's like greatest works ever.
Yeah, he definitely was on fire for a few years there. I got to say, a little sidebar, the Replacements, they keep putting out the reissues, and it's just like, it's just too many songs. Like, I think the problem I have with these reissues, it's like, it's, you know, we've hit that too much of a good thing saturation point where it's like, well, there's a reason why like 40 of these songs have been locked in a vault for a very long time. It's because, you know, maybe they're not so great. And I'm like the biggest Replacements fan, but I don't need all that.
No, and I don't buy the big sets here. Look, I love what Prince is doing right now. I cannot say enough for Prince's family. There's like he had no will. There's like 30 people that ended up inheriting the Prince everything. And where you see other like families fall apart and like the legacy of the artist is destroyed, these people like lock and loaded immediately were like, we need to, first of all, get rid of all the kids that don't exist. And B, we need to immediately petition the town to turn Paisley Park into a museum because we can't afford the taxes.
Yeah.
So like, it needs to start generating money immediately or else we will not be able to sustain the legacy of Prince. They allowed them. They were able to get an emergency order to get it turned into a museum. You've been there.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait to go one day.
It's so good.
It's on my bucket list for the next year.
You know how, like, you know, when you go to Graceland, they say you can feel the King's spirit. You can feel Prince's vibe in that whole place.
100%.
Oh, so
but
good.
Prince, it's so known. Like, he made so much music that he kept to himself. The vault is real. And they've done a great job putting out, like, an album every, like, 6 months or so. Always on purple vinyl if you buy it through them. As well as restoring their original classic album. So I just got Purple Rain on purple vinyl.
Love it.
He had his new album that came out a couple months ago that was very good. And I see them continuing. As long as they don't fall apart
yeah.
and they keep this as whatever sort of like, you know, company they've formed out of it. I feel like doing great. I mean, you can buy Prince's guitar now.
Yeah.
You can buy, like, the level of merch is high end. I'm really, really impressed with what they're doing. And again, you know, you never saw it from Nirvana, where they've been fighting forever with, I mean, this album is just a money grab. I mean, who wants to buy, you're basically buying Nirvana's Nevermind for like $100+ to get four live albums.
Yeah, it's a remaster of a remaster.
You know, I think everyone should give Nevermind another listen. I enjoyed it more today. I feel like the remaster actually did a good job kind of removing that 90s polish a little bit off of it. I don't know if they...
See, I didn't mind the 90s polish. That was, you know...
It's
out of the times, bro.
It was very of the time.
Real quick, did you watch Full Gear yet or no?
The pay-per-view?
Yeah.
I made it to... I just finished the CM Punk match.
Okay, so you didn't see the Minnesota Street Fight.
Which one's that one?
The Inner Circle versus like all those.
No, that's next.
Okay.
Is it worth like get on it right after this?
No, it's fun. I think.
Oh, do they go to Paisley Park?
No, they don't. But there's a
Prince reference.
There's a Prince reference that'll make you pop. It made me pop.
Oh, does Velveteen Dream come out?
No. I think he's been banned from
I believe Velveteen Dream might have. No, you see, because Velveteen Dream never hit the highs that Enzo and Cass hit. I think they're still the fastest burnout ever in WWE history.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But Velveteen Dream is the biggest waste of talent.
Overall, though, pay-per-view is a very, very solid pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I was happy that I got it. I was like, I'm spending $50 on this, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I was missing it live, so I got it not live anyway the next day. But anywho, again, never mind, 30th anniversary. It's 30 years, and we're talking a lot about where we were 30 years ago. And wow.
I put out that tweet the other day, and everyone's like, wow, you made me feel really old. I'm like, it's hard not to acknowledge it, but sometimes, like, when you do the math, you're like, fuck.
You see, but I don't feel old that AFI formed 30 years ago because they're one of those bands that formed when they were like children.
Exactly. But still, when you think about like where you were 30 years ago, you're like, oh shit, like it's been 30, like everything that I've loved growing up is legitimately classic rock now.
I 100% agree, and there are some stores that I've been to that put our stuff under classic rock, which is just insane because I feel like classic rock will forever be our parents' rock, not just because, like, I just think classic rock, it's not even our parents' music, it's 70s music. I feel like classic rock kind of got this niche of, like, it will forever be Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll never even consider Tom Petty classic rock.
It's weird, though, because when you think about, you know, when my parents were my age, the music that was considered a classic rock was, like, not too far removed from, like, where they were. And now, like, I'm at the same age that my parents were, like, with that. What was their generation's classic rock is now my classic rock. Like, you know, Nirvana, Husker Du, all this shit. Nirvana's classic rock, bro.
No, it's even worse than that. In 88, when we were listening to classic rock, we were listening to music from 1974 and 75.
Yep.
Which was like 15 years prior.
Yeah.
Now music from 30 years ago is not considered classic rock. It's considered grunge. It's still considered the type of music it was considered at the time.
Yeah.
It has, and I'm not just saying next time old. Like, you don't see it filed under that.
Give it time, man.
Yes, but at what point does it then become fucking classical rock? Like, I mean, you know,
I think it just all gets folded into classic rock.
I don't know. I think as long as there's still a punk section.
But it's going to be newer punk. It's going to be like...
I don't disagree with you.
You know?
Look at Sirius XM has Faction XM, which is supposedly the new rock, but they play like the Offspring Smash.
Yeah.
And then Marky Ramone has the classics punk, which is 70s punk.
Yeah.
So there is still a weird, and again, it could be us being old farts, but I don't think it is yet. I think it's because most of the people who own record stores are our generation.
Yeah, it's true.
And they don't want to call it classic rock. Which our parents' generation didn't have a problem calling it classic rock.
No, but because that's what it was. Yeah, I don't know. It's Aerosmith. It's so weird.
It's forever Aerosmith.
It's always
and Aerosmith. And the birds. And the Yardbirds. I don't know where I'm going with that. Oh. Eric Clapton. Fuck Eric Clapton. Dude, talk about fall from grace. What the fuck? Just shut your mouth.
Oh, my God.
You can just shut your mouth and live off Layla.
There's all these dudes that are really like, yeah, I don't fuck with him no more. Like, you know, blues guys that he was, like, friends with for decades. Just like, yeah, I just can't.
Like, oh, our blues friend is a racist. Great. Yeah, joy. Great. That's what we need. Anywho, Shang-Chi. So we waited. Obviously, this was a movie I didn't feel too comfortable with seeing in the movies when it came out. Shang-Chi just dropped on Disney Plus Day. Really quickly, before we talk about that, She-Hulk trailer, fucking awesome.
So much good stuff.
Hawkeye trailer.
So much good stuff.
So much good stuff. But the biggest shock, the reveal of the day, X-Men 97.
I just started again. Once they announced it, I just went on Disney Plus. I hit boop, and I started watching X-Men from 92 on. I love it.
It's got most of the original cast, most of the original crew. The thing I didn't know about it, so I posted on Twitter. I was wondering I think a friend of mine, Sasha, posted about whether it was a good thing or bad thing. And it turns out, I didn't realize it because I don't think I watched it through the end because 97, I was dating Allison already in 97. I heard the last season or so, it shit the bed. Like it just wasn't good. They completely ran out of, I don't know what was going on, but it wasn't good. This is going to try to rectify that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a direct continuation. It's going to try to fix the problems it had. I'm so happy they're doing this. Some people think that it's just a cop-out so they don't have to do the X-Men. I think that's absolutely not true. I bet you they saw the numbers of people viewing X-Men 97 because the nostalgia is there. X-Men 97, even though it's 92 to 97, I don't know why I call it 97.
Yeah.
X-Men 90s cartoon was the first ever modern cartoon of Marvel. I mean, prior to that, it was Spider-Man's Amazing Friends. There was nothing before X-Men. X-Men started off the toy line. X-Men the cartoon kicked off the next generation. And people would argue and say that cartoon helped kick off the modern Marvel Cinematic Universe, the X side of it over on, when Fox had it.
Yeah.
Because X-Men the movie was bigger than Spider-Man the movie when it came out. People forget that. X-Men the movie was huge, and it all came out of the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for that. But Shang-Chi also dropped that day. I got to watch it. It's free. If you have Disney Plus, it's actually free. If you're a Verizon customer on some unlimited plans, you can get Disney Plus for free too. Mm-hmm. So you can watch Shang-Chi for free. And that's my cheap plug of the night. I will tell you this. I'm going to put it right out there. I am of the many people out there, I didn't know who Shang-Chi was. I knew the name, but he's from an era well before ours. I think he's from the 60s, 70s.
70s.
And I didn't know much about it. I will now say that was the best Marvel Origins movie since Iron Man.
Hands down. I agree with you 1,000%.
And I don't like origin movies. I do not like origin movies. I always find them the boring. I just don't love them. I don't like Captain America, the first Avenger. I don't like... Anyway, I'm just give me... I know who this character is. I don't need to see another Spider-Man Origins movie. This movie lays it out. This, I got to be honest with you. And I think I texted you this. This is the movie Snake Eyes wishes it was.
Yeah.
This is a movie that's because my big argument was how the fuck did Snake Eyes become a ninja? They never actually explained how he went from being from point A to point B. It's all of a sudden he's ninja.
You get it in the comic, but they don't explain it in the
movie. Not in the movie.
Yeah.
This one, no, they do. They completely spell out who Shang-Chi was, and they drip it out and it's through the narrative of the story, and they explain his family. You never get bored. You never get... There is a callback to another movie that holy poop. Hey, what's up, Gabe? You fell asleep through Shang-Chi. I laughed so hard.
Oh, it was funny. It was legitimately funny and serious when it had to be. And I think that's really the Marvel secret to success is when they find a way to keep things bright and funny, but know how to double down on the serious when it needs to be deadly serious. I think that's we go back and forth saying what's DC doing wrong? I mean, other than everything being dark. But that's it. That's the secret.
Well, the one-dimensional bad guys. Once again, this was a great villain in this who was just a father who wanted to find his dead wife who he believed was alive.
Yeah.
And that's all he cared. His true love was the driving factor here. And he was kind of a dickhead for abandoning his children, but he was just he was tormented by grief.
Yeah.
And that was, again, a very smart way to tell a bad guy, because again, it's I don't care, which is why my least favorite Marvel film is Ultron, because I just don't care about the bad guy. This is why when they do Magneto, it's going to be awesome.
You know all the heroes and villains, buddy. Smart.
He's wearing a Marvel shirt.
He's wearing a Marvel shirt right now, and that's the thing, man.
Yeah,
Marvel hoodie. That's the thing, though, man. You get better villains in Marvel, and also, there are stakes. And they know how to tie the damn movies together, because once you get to the end of this movie, even before the after credits, they perfectly bookended the beginning and the end of the movie. I wish I had gotten to see it in theaters because I really do enjoy seeing these things on the big screen. But man, like,
I wish I'd come home earlier so we could have seen it down here.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, man, I mean, well, Tim had already seen it, so it's cool. But like, it's a good movie. It was a good movie. I really, really enjoyed it. I love the guy who plays Shang-Chi. I was watching him on Kim's Convenience. I think he's great. And then I'm happy. Awkwafina was funny as hell in this movie.
So good. It just was, it hit all the right notes. It was a happy, I'd say it was more of the Ant-Man.
Yes.
Are you just going to copy me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like Ant-Man? Yeah. Who else do you like? Who's your favorite superhero?
My favorite hero is also a hero.
What old superhero?
All of them.
All of them. They're all your favorite? That's good, but they're Marvel, right?
Yeah.
So I won't even let you like acknowledge DC exists. You like Spider-Man? You like the Hulk?
Yeah.
You like Thor?
Yeah.
But who's your favorite villain? Who's your favorite right now? He's black?
Yeah.
He's big?
Yeah.
He looks kind of like Spider-Man? What's his name?
Venom.
He's obsessed with Venom.
I gotta see that second
one. Not only is he obsessed with Venom, but he loves watching the Venom. This movie that is kind of terrifying. Anytime it's on, Venom.
Yeah, but P-U-P-P-E-T-S. Can't handle him.
He just, yeah, he can't handle Muppets. I'll say it, but he loves Venom.
So and weird.
He loves the first movie because we haven't seen the new one, hasn't dropped yet. But he is, his new thing is Venom. Everything he wants is Venom for Christmas. He is a huge Venom.
Gabe, I got to say, you're an interesting guy. Don't ever change.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Like the stuff he loves is so funny. But Shang-Chi. Recommend it to anybody. Again, it's free right now. Don't copy me. I'm curious about Eternals. Some people didn't love it.
Yeah, I'll see you when I see it.
It's 4 hours long.
It's a very long movie.
And I hear it looks great in the theaters, but I don't know.
But now Disney Plus is giving you the ability to watch IMAX versions of the movies at
home.
Do
you want to see IMAX versions at home?
Probably not, but I just think if you have the option, I think it's nice.
Do you have a Square TV?
Actually, I don't have a Square TV. You're right.
Do you know where IMAX movies look the best?
In the IMAX theater?
Yes, and iPads. iPads are more the ratio.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. I didn't think of that. That's good. That's clever.
You are on me. Does that mean it's time to go? Did I forget to talk about anything?
Gabe, are you suddenly like a little parrot friend?
Yeah.
Yeah? There you go.
What was your favorite thing at Disneyland? The Nightmare Before Christmas ride. To do the Haunted Mansion and the whole graveyard is all Jack skeletons and Sally. Sally, you like Sally? And now he says there's Jack Sally and Hambone Sally.
Oh, buddy. I got my own Sally.
You got your own Sally.
Feels special.
And he like differentiates the two Sallys. And he's just happy. We've got 2 more weeks. You've got $1,000 left to make. You're gonna do it.
I gotta do it. Yeah, it is the bane of my existence currently. I gotta get this thing funded. I know we're gonna fund, but I will mentally feel better once I see that number hit 6,000. And you can go to Kickstarter right now. You can back Point Nemo, support your old buddy Hambone here. Get a great game that you can play with all your friends and family while you're trying to survive the holiday season.
If you have never had an RPG before. You're really pretending you're me now.
Yeah.
This is the game for you. Look up 321 Action. Look up Point Nemo. Go to Kickstarter. Help a buddy out. There's a hardcover version that's $35. $35. You get the hardcover version. You get the original version softback. Like, that's the best deal.
Yeah, you get the PDF of the book. You get the hardcover copy of the book. You get
Nobody wants a PDF of the book.
Some people do.
Bullshit.
They don't want to pay for shipping. Well, I know you. Well, you can't. I get that. But, you know, $35, you get the hardcover copy of the book. You get a physical copy of the rule book. You get a PDF of the rule book. You get a PDF of the game itself. And you get the adventure, Kevin Saves Christmas, for free in the end of the year. It's definitely worth checking out.
Is that the Krampus one?
That's the Krampus one. Yeah. Dude, you have no idea.
I'm so excited.
But when I get the proof back from the guy, I'm sending it to you first. You're going to shit your ass. It is so good. But yes, please check out 321actiongames.com. There is a free copy of the rule book. There is the old adventure Rocket to Russia, which is available now on Exalted Funeral. But please go over to Kickstarter. Definitely back my game. Me and my buddy George, we wrote a great game, and it's going to be fun for you and your friends and family. Point Nemo on Kickstarter.
Do it. Do it. How else can the kids reach you?
You can find me on the Twitter and on Instagram at JohnMcGuireRPG. I'm mostly promoting my Kickstarter right now for Point Nemo, but I've actually been tweeting more. I've actually been tweeting more about things that are not my Kickstarter for Point Nemo.
You finally are starting to realize how social media works.
I've come out of my shell. You know what? It's mentally been a lot for the last couple of years. And believe me, once this Kickstarter is done, I'm taking a social media break for 7 whole days. But yeah, I've been tweeting more. I've been having fun tweeting. So come on and find me on the Twitter at JohnMcGuireRPG.
All you got to do is follow good people.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm like unfollowing and refollowing and figuring it all out.
Like, that's all it is. I spend a good amount of time just weeding. Cull your life.
I'm culling my life.
Cull your life. And
culling my life.
No, like, I'm always like, I don't know, my social world is wonderful and rainbows and butterflies. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, because I'm friends with cool people.
That's true. He's not wrong, folks.
Anyway, you can reach me at GLK Creative on Instagram and Twitter. Tomorrow, have you seen the Gabe George Talks Tech yet?
Not yet.
The Gabe George Talks Tech drops tomorrow.
Oh, we got to see that.
You've got to see that. That will be yesterday for when you guys listen to this. But he's going to make his Verizon premiere.
I love it.
It is going to be awesome. We also just did a crazy episode where we made this machine that allows me to choose famous historical figures. We're kind of doing a spoof on Bill and Ted.
Love it.
And then I choose their tech gift for Christmas.
Oh.
It's going to be awesome when it finally goes. That's why I spent 10 hours shooting yesterday while dealing with Allison crashing the edge. It was a day. My return day was a little bit rough.
It came in hot from that vacation. But,
you know, it is what it is. You can find us at Mai Tai Happy Hour. MaiTaiTV.com is our archive. Mai Tai Happy Hour and wherever great podcasts are sold. You can just follow the two of us. Just know we're just two dudes, just like you, unless you're a girl. And that's cool, too. And, you know, rate, review, and subscribe. We love you all. Take us out.
Everybody remember, be nice, especially to yourself, especially during the holiday season. Get vaccinated, get boosted, wear a mask when you need to, socially distance otherwise. Aloha!